The moment you believe on Jesus, the moment you confess Him as Lord, you are righteous. You don't go into a process of righteousness. You are righteous. Now, your actions are not perfect. Your actions, your thoughts will still not be perfect. But in terms of standing in the courts of heaven before God, God, the judge of heaven, has pronounced you righteous. What is the difference between forgiveness and righteousness? When you are forgiven, you go into a court, you have a charge against you, or charges, right? Those charges are real. If the judge forgives you, the judge will let go all those charges and let you go free, forgive you as a guilty person. That is forgiveness. Righteousness is there is no charge that can be leveled against you in the court of heaven. That is righteousness.
What you believe is powerful. If you can change what you believe, you can change your life. In today's message, Joseph Prince shares how you can win the battle for your mind by developing habits for right believing. Want to find freedom from every fear, guilt, and addiction in your life? In his book, 100 Days of Right Believing, Joseph Prince shares how you can break free from bondages and live a life of victory through inspiring, bite-sized teachings that will help you develop highly effective habits for right believing. Get your copy today for a gift of any amount to the ministry. Call or text the number on your screen or visit our website to get yours now. And now, here is Pastor Joseph Prince with today's program.
I have a testimony here I'd like to open up with from United States. And it's a sister from Missouri. So this lady says, I was hopelessly addicted to crack cocaine, a habit that began in 2000. I went to countless inpatient and outpatient rehabilitative centers. I attended a women's ministry dedicated to helping women with addictions. I read Christian books and tried to apply all the principles with all the might I could muster up. And I thank God for Christian books, okay? I read Christian books, and I've been blessed by them. But this woman said that whatever she has read about Christian books has not helped her. I also sought Christian counsel, and many people tried to help me. I had Christian mentors and even hired a Christian coach. I attended church as well as Christian and secular help groups for years. Despite all these efforts, I still attempted suicide 4 times, resulting in trips to the psychiatric ward. How difficult it was to live up to the standards of the law until my true freedom came through Jesus Christ. About a year ago, I read the book, The Power of Right Believing. I know this guy who wrote the book. Initially, I was afraid that I was being, I like her honesty. Initially, I was afraid that I was being misled. I did not really believe what Pastor Joseph Prince was saying, but I kept reading with the Bible alongside the book. Very smart. Because I gave you scriptures, all right, and endeavor to keep it in context. In the end, I realized that truly I have been set free through Christ, and I have been free from my addiction ever since. You see, this is addiction, people. We're not talking about going for thousands and thousands of dollars of psychiatric care and evaluation and appointments and still under care in the ward or whatever. You know, we're talking about our medicine. A lot of medicines nowadays are so expensive. We're talking about someone who was delivered. And this is the dangerous doctrine that some people talk about. The Lord has even healed me of an extremely painful stomach condition that had me spend tons of money on prescription and non-prescription medication that gave little relief. Christ truly loves me so much. I always love that revelation when people see that how much the Lord loves them. And I'm deeper in love with Him than ever before. I continue to be encouraged through the good news of Christ, His Word, and Pastor Prince's teachings and sermons all the time. You know, there's always someone who is spiritual says, oh, just tell them to read the Bible, read the Bible. You know, the thing is this, people. God gave teachers. When God gave teachers, do you think God is omniscient? Yes. Omniscient means all-knowing. Do you think that all the teachers that God gave are imperfect? I think He knows that. Amen? Yet, the Lord looked at the 12 disciples, and the Bible says they were just in unbelief. They didn't believe He rose from the dead. He turned to them just after He corrected them and rebuked them for their unbelief in the fact that He rose from the dead. He turned around and says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. God uses people. Imperfect as they are, God uses people. He anoints them, He equips them, and He sends them. Can I have a good amen? Amen. So for someone to come to someone and say, just read the Bible, all right? It's not going to be that young person reading the Bible, young Christian, I'm talking about age, young Christian, he can be 80 and be a young Christian. He will open up the Bible, but he will not know. Just like that Ethiopian eunuch on his way back from Jerusalem in the book of Acts, he was reading his Bible. Obviously, he was wealthy enough to purchase a copy of the book of Isaiah, but he was reading it in his chariot. And he couldn't understand what he was reading. And God did not teach him directly. God sent Philip. In fact, God did a teletransportation. God sent Philip there. Oh no, sorry. The teletransportation happened after Philip ministered to this man. But Philip ran, saw the chariot. He says, excuse me, sir, you need any help? He says, I'm reading this passage. I do not know who is being referred to. And Philip got on board and realized he was reading Isaiah 53 about Jesus and preached about Jesus to him. Amen. Right after that, he baptized him and Philip was teletransported back. Amen. He was here, then he disappeared. He appeared in another city preaching. I'm believing that to happen. Amen. For all those in GRC, you never know. I'm preaching here now. Next service, I'm there. Hallelujah. Wouldn't that be great? So praise God. And this lady, I love the way she talked about Jesus. She fell in love with him. That's what it's all about, people. Not just deliverance from our bondages and having our needs met, but falling in love with the one who did it all. She says this, I love this part. Indeed, I am the righteousness of God through Christ. Indeed, I am the righteousness of God through Christ. I am hidden with Christ in God. He gave himself for me. Praise to our daddy God. Pastor Prince, may our Father continue to bless your ministry and others through the finished work of the cross. Amen. To God be the praise and the glory. Amen. It's about righteousness consciousness. You see, the thing is this. The church has forgotten the greatest property, okay? The greatest inheritance, the greatest vestiture, whatever it, you like to call it, the greatest thing that Jesus left behind to the church is this justification by faith gospel. It's the gospel of being righteous by faith, not righteous by your works. Today, the people that are fighting against this truth, they are just an example of people all over the world who do not believe that they are sinners. People who fight against receiving the righteousness of another are people who cannot believe they are really that bad. They are trying to produce righteousness, enough righteousness like a scale, so that their righteousness can offset their bad works. The world basically is like this. Many belief systems are all based on that. But the Bible says you cannot. You know, by the way, at the end of the day, God will not judge people based on whether they accept Christ or not. It still involves that, but I'll tell you why it involves that. At the end of the day, the Bible says every man is judged based on their works. In other words, what is your work? You say the Ten Commandments. Okay, I'll judge you based on that. Make sure at the end of your life, you have kept all 10. Inwardly and outwardly. What is your basis where I live to the highest standards of my conscience? So your conscience is your guide, yes. At the end of your life, you'll be judged by your conscience. Make sure whether it's law or conscience, you all live up and never make a mistake. And you know what's the answer? Everyone makes mistakes. Everyone fails. Even their own conscience, they fail. Therefore, there's a need for a Savior. Do you see what I'm saying? Romans 10, verse 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's how we all got saved. We believe in our hearts and we confess with our mouth Jesus is our Lord. But there's more than just saying Jesus is Lord. There's an understanding Jesus is Lord of what? Lord is a Lord, Shalom, my peace. Lord, Sitkenu, my righteousness. Right? Lord, Nisi, my banner, my warrior. For with the heart one believes unto what? righteousness. You see, back in those days, they teach righteousness. Right? The moment you believe on Jesus, the moment you confess Him as Lord, you are righteous. You don't go into a process of righteousness. You are righteous. Now, your actions are not perfect. Your actions, your thoughts will still not be perfect. But in terms of standing in the courts of heaven before God, God, the judge of heaven, has pronounced you righteous. What is the difference between forgiveness and righteousness? Forgiveness and justification. When you are forgiven, you go into a court, you have a charge against you or charges, right? Those charges are real. The judge will, if the judge forgives you, the judge will let go all those charges and let you go free, forgive you as a guilty person. That is forgiveness. But if you step into the court and the judge says there is no charge against you, this is forgiveness. Righteousness is there is no charge that can be leveled against you in the court of heaven. That is righteousness. Then comes the question, it begs an answer. How in the world can sinful man become righteous like that? In the righteousness of another. Can you understand? You must give up your seeking to establish your own righteousness and say, I step into the righteousness of Jesus, and His righteousness is perfect. Amen. Then all the good things you do is not to obtain righteousness which you already have. All the good things you do is because you know you are righteous. They are called the fruits of righteousness, the effect of righteousness, which is peace. Well, I'm telling you, the devil is attacking this doctrine. The moment I touch on this, all right, it's almost all hell break loose. When I was a young boy, and I went through all my condemnation, depression, and all that, running from one man of God, asking them to cast the devil out of me. I still remember God was bringing me into a journey where this truth will become the Magna Carta of my ministry. It will be the sum total of my ministry. Even my book, I talk about righteousness by faith all the way in a new light. Of course, it's not a rehash, but a new light. And at the end of the day, I pray that everyone stands up and say, I'm standing in Jesus' righteousness. He is my righteousness. There can be no charge leveled against me because there can be no charge leveled against Him. But to stand in the righteousness of another takes a lot of humility. That means you are saying, I have no righteousness of my own. Amen. Look at this verse. Romans 10, it says, with the heart one believes unto righteousness. You must believe, when you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord, you must believe unto righteousness. And with your mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now, the word salvation, many times when the evangelical church as a whole, they teach salvation as salvation from hell to heaven. Am I right? Say amen. If that's the impression you all have. Now, that is not fully accurate. It does involve that, of course. Thank God for that. That's the eternal security we have. It's the word salvation. But do you know that both Thayer and Vine, W.E. Vine, both are Greek scholars of the New Testament, and both of them said that messianic salvation, which is what we described just now as safe in heaven forever, is actually the third definition or the fourth definition. It is still a definition, but the first definition, according to Vine, is this. Salvation is used in, I'm quoting Vine's now, his dictionary. His salvation is used in the New Testament, number one, A, of material and temporal deliverance from danger and apprehension. Why is that not preached? And we just learned that if we believe Jesus is our Lord of righteousness, He is our righteousness, amen? With the heart man believes, with the mouth confession is made unto your deliverance from temporal danger. When you find the word temporal, that means things of this life. Okay, so this is the thing. When you believe that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, that you stand in Jesus' righteousness, not yours, you cannot be proud. When you do that and you confess, when you are sick, you confess, you are healed. Because the word salvation is the word sozo. It's used by Jesus when He told the woman, your faith has sozo you. Many times, those who are healed by Jesus, He will use the word sozo. And soteria come from the word sozo. soteria, sotar, from the word sozo. Soteria is a noun, sozo is a verb. You get it? All right. Actually, it's Greek for Yeshua. In fact, when the father named his son as a man, Jesus was named Yeshua. Go back to Romans 10. With the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. All right? Confess it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Confess you are delivered from the power of darkness. Amen. Let's go to Philippians 2. I'm going to answer the question. Where do you find in the Bible that we confess we are the righteousness of God? Okay. Therefore, God also has highly exalted Jesus and given him the name which is above every name. Isn't it wonderful? Jesus' name is the name above every name. Name any disease, his name is above that name. His name is above every name. Every disease, whatever it is, every demon, whatever name it is, all right, the name of Jesus is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. You know what that tells me? That those who don't bow to the name of Jesus here will bow in hell. They will still bow. Everyone that blasphemes Jesus will one day in hell say, Jesus is Lord. Because the Bible says so. Every knee will bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Say every knee bow. Every knee say every tongue confess. All right? Now let's do you know that he's quoting an Old Testament and bringing us the fullness of the truth of the Old Testament. Would you like to see it? Okay? Say every knee bow.
Every knee bow.
Every tongue confess.
Every tongue confess.
Where do you find that? Paul is quoting Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah. I have sworn, God is talking, by myself. Now, this is the greatest oath in the entire universe. When God swears by himself, I want you to know something, is the greatest oath ever. All right, I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath. All those who don't bow to him now will still bow in hell. God has said every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, under the earth. We bow our knee here, we are saved. We bow down there is to acknowledge in righteousness that he is Lord. But you're not saved. Okay? And by the way, you must look at your idea of what is politically correct of the Bible and look at what is correct. Okay? Your idea doesn't amount to a hill of beans with God. It's his idea that's important. Repentance means we change our thoughts to his thoughts. Can I have a good amen? Okay, so God says, every knee will bow, every tongue will take an oath or confess. What? Next verse. He shall say, watch this. Surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. To him men shall come, and all shall be ashamed who are incensed against him. Now, we read in Philippians that our confession is Jesus Christ is Lord. Just like Romans 10, Jesus, confess your mouth, Jesus is Lord, but with a heart, you actually believe. When you say Jesus Lord, what are you saying? Jesus is my righteousness. The Lord, my righteousness. Here he brings it out. Surely shall one say. He's talking about people bowing before him, every knee bow, every tongue takes an oath. And what is the confession? Surely he shall say, Isaiah saw you and I. Isaiah saw the teachings that we have today. Isaiah saw. And he's looking at you, man. He's looking at you, woman. He's looking at you, brother. And he's saying, he shall say, referring to us, in the Lord, surely in the Lord, I have what? Right. Or you can say, I am the righteousness of God in the Lord, in Christ Jesus. Surely in the Lord, I have righteousness and strength. To him men shall come, and all shall be ashamed who are incensed against him. To confirm again, in the Lord, in Christ, all the descendants of Israel, and we are all Abraham's seed, shall be justified. And you know what follows justification? Once you know you are justified, you know what happens? Glory is waiting for you. Shall be justified and shall glory. And sometimes once a while over this side of heaven, I have seen people, all right, when they know they are righteous in Christ, they are very humble, and once a while I see their face glow. I see the radiance. I have notice Christians long before I know they are Christians by their radiant faces. One thing Wendy tells me often when we meet people in a mall and a food court or whatever, one of the most frequent things that she would tell me, notice their faces. Our people's face shine and they don't even know it. Amen. The opposite is just like thunder. Amen. Beware of the dog. Amen. So, here is your authority. Where you have that part where God saw that people will start confessing, in the Lord I have righteousness. By the way, strength here is uz. Uz. You know the Uzi gun? It's a Jewish invention. They took the word uz and put Uzi, my strength. But uz, always in the New Testament, when it's not referring to God, it's referring to man, it's always physical strength. So where do you get your physical strength? In the Lord, I have righteousness and strength. The first use of it is in the song of Moses after God opened up the Red Sea. Moses said, the Lord is my strength, my uz. No wonder he lived to 120 years old. The Lord is his physical strength. No wonder when he died at 120, he wasn't sick. His eyes was not dim, nor his natural force abated, because he said, the Lord is my uz. The Lord is my physical strength. The Lord is my... You must learn to confess, people. Indeed, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. That takes revelation. Can I have a good amen, people? And remember this. God wants you to confess, in the Lord Jesus, I have righteousness and strength. Amen? That doesn't do away with the need of asking God for wisdom, living depending on Him, so that we guide our families, amen, in the right pastures, amen, in green pastures. Doesn't exempt us from having responsibility to live our life for the glory of God. And all the people said, yes. Have you been blessed? Yes. Give Him praise, church. Come on, hallelujah.
Pastor Joseph Prince will return in a moment with a special prayer to close today's program right after this. In Joseph Prince's book, 100 Days of Right Believing, discover highly effective Bible-based principles that will recalibrate your mind and help you develop positive habits for right believing. These bite-sized, easy-to-read teachings will help you align yourself with God's heart and plans for you. Plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and hope. Receive your copy when you make a gift of any amount to the ministry in support of our broadcast and other outreach initiatives. For a gift of $75 or more, we want to give you even more teaching content with the following resource kit that contains two powerful albums, The Power of Right Believing DVD and CD Series and Right Believing Leads to Right Living CD Series. Call or text the number on your screen or visit our website to request yours today. And now, a closing word from Pastor Joseph Prince.
Friend, whose righteousness are you trusting? Yours? Or are you finished with your righteousness? No matter how good you think you are, you can never reach the perfect standard of God. Or will you say, I need a Savior. I need Jesus Christ to be my Savior and Lord. If that is you, pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. He died on the cross as the payment for all my sins. Justice is satisfied. The law magnified. And Jesus Christ is my Lord and my righteousness, now and forever. Thank you, Father. All my sins are forgiven. Christ has been raised from the dead. And forevermore, my righteousness is a man at the Father's right hand. Thank you, Father, that you measure me from this day forth, not by what I do here, but by that man at your right hand. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me from self-occupation to Christ's occupation, from corruption to loveliness, to behold the lovely one. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're saved. You are saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you and your families, and the Lord keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and your loved ones and grant to you and your families shalom, wholeness, well-being, health, and peace. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for watching today's program. If you are new to the Gospel of Grace, Pastor Joseph Prince would like to send you a copy of his book, Destined to Reign, to help you get started. It's yours absolutely free just by contacting us today. Offer is available to U.S. residents while stocks last. Just pay shipping and handling.
Before we go, I just want to appreciate the people who make this possible. Grace Legacy Builders. It is your generosity and support that allows us to continue sending the gospel of grace all around the world for free. Because of your giving, people are experiencing freedom from years of wrong believing. I want you to know that you have personally made a real difference in the lives of so many. God bless you and your family.
You can make a real difference by becoming a Grace Legacy Builder today. Together, we can reach more people with the life-changing gospel of grace. Call 877-901-4300 or visit josephprince.org to get started.
What if there was a better way to navigate some of life's biggest challenges? A way to dig deeper, feel pastored, and find the answers you're looking for in the Word of God? Introducing Grace Academy.
Grace Academy has been on my heart for a long time. If you've ever had questions about how to walk in grace or what it means to live by grace, this is the place where you'll find answers on how to live a life that's anchored on our Lord Jesus.
Featuring brand new content from Joseph Prince, Grace Academy is a digital pastoring experience designed to help you through some of life's toughest moments. Participate in activities that will help you apply the Word of God to your daily life. Discover resources that will help deepen your understanding of the Lord's love and heart for you. Get free access today. Text GA to 71239 or visit josephprince.org/GA.
Need prayer? Head over to our brand new digital prayer experience. You can use it any time of the day from your computer or mobile device and watch the prayers as many times as you need. You'll also receive free digital resources to help you through these challenging times. Let's stand in faith together for breakthrough in your situation. Visit josephprince.org/prayer to get started.
Thank you for being with us today. Join Pastor Joseph Prince next time for a fresh word from the Lord. Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.